something very, very wrong. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Good evening and welcome to our show. And I hate to have to start the program on a somber note, but I do, unfortunately. We have in our possession a 911 tape that was released to us by the Sheriff's Department. It is graphic, but it is something we need to play for you. And we do it out of public interest. We do it out of public service. I'm giving you this advance notice for obvious reasons. If there are children present, if there are any listeners who are highly sensitive to this kind of material, this kind of broadcast, I would like you at this time to use your good sense. But you may not want to hear what we're about to play. It is very graphic. It is extremely emotionally wrenching. And let me just put it to you this way. If you're one of the unfortunates, and I was one of them, to see the videos from Iraq, then you know what I'm talking about. Again, this is a 911 recording. I'll give you a few seconds, maybe, if you want to get the kids out of the room, that we just received from the Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, we gotta get down here.
Where are you, sir?
I'm Kodak Theater.
I'm sorry, sir.
Go to Kodak Theater.
That's Kodak Theater.
Dispatch, 2430.
Now we got a problem.
What's the problem, sir?
Sean Penn's got a pole up there.
I'm sorry, sir.
Sean Penn's got a pole.
The actor?
Yes, ma'am, the actor, Sean Penn.
And what's the problem, sir? Dispatch, 2430.
Got a pole up it.
He has a pole?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's got a pole wedged up.
Dispatch 25, Sean Penn, Hollywood Kodak Theater. Over. And what's the problem, sir?
I think he's got a pole wedged up there. We're not sure. Oh, God.
All right, so please stand by with me. Remain calm. The man has a pole wedged where?
Up his crack. Right up the... Yeah.
All right, Brett Fentz, pole up the crack. All right, sir, what you need to do, it's Sean Penn?
Yeah, it's the actor, Sean Penn. He just come off the stage.
How do you know, sir?
I saw him waddle out on the stage, and he looked like Sean Penn and everything, but he was kind of walking like he had something parked up there, like he was maybe didn't pinch one off perfectly or something.
Roger. All right, sir, what's that?
Yeah, so I...
Now, here's what you need to do, and I want you to remain calm. Can you stay on the line with me?
Yes, ma'am.
Is he there with you?
Yeah.
What's he doing now?
He's smoking a cigarette and wearing sunglasses.
All right. So I need for you to get him relaxed out of that pose. That is a James Dean pose. He needs to relax out of that. Put the cigarette out and take the sunglasses off of him. Can you do that for me, sir?
Oh, God, I'm so scared.
No. Just stay with me, sir.
All right. Mr. Penn, you got to...
No, I don't want to.
Take him off.
Did you get the sunglasses off and put the cigarette out?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
All right, now you need to relax him into the normal pose that he should usually assume, that of a Hollywood industry nerd. Can you do that?
Mr. Penn, please, just...
No.
He's fighting me.
All right, they will do that, sir. Yes, they will be aggressive. Dispatch, 33, L.A. County Sheriff. We got Sean Penn of Kodak Theater. He's got a pole parked up his...
Over.
All right, can you get to his colon, sir? Can you get to the colon?
I don't know.
You need to get... All right, we have fire and rescue on the way, sir.
I can't do it. The pole's coming right out the pan area.
Roger, I got it. Do you have any ice cube tongs or anything like that, sir?
I can get something out of the truck.
Who am I speaking with, sir?
My name is John Dowley.
Right, and what do you do, sir?
I'm just a technician here. I'm one of the lighting guys at the Kodak Theater.
Can you go next door to a Chinese restaurant and get chopsticks?
Yeah, I can do that.
All right. Now, fire and rescue is on the way, sir. I want you to relax. In order to get the pole out of Sean Penn's butt, you need to get the chopsticks around the end of it.
All right, hold on. Hold still, Mr. Penn. Please hold still, sir.
Where's Bobby Duvall? He's asking for Robert Duvall. Tell him to quit posing. He has to stop posing.
All right, you got to quit posing.
And get the chopsticks around the pole.
Oh, man, it's way up there.
All right, fire rescue on the way, Janet.
L.A. County Sheriff, 523. We have an emergency at Kodak Theater.
chopsticks and ice cube tongs needed.
Roger.
Don't forget the hot mustard.
Roger.
LA County Fire. Sean Penn has a cob shoved all the way up his...
All right, and that's all we have. It's graphic, and yet it tells you what it is we're dealing with in today's society. The kind of violence, the kind of violent posing that is a part of our society. Now, that's not all. There is one tail end of the tape, and Bud, if you can go ahead and roll the rest of that for me.
Right, I got it here in deck three.
You just go ahead and roll it for me, Bud.
Bird scene.
Well, I don't know why you come out like that.
Now, what happened?
Well, Chris Rock made a joke about Jude Law, and everybody thought it was funny and stuff, and everyone was laughing. It was okay. And then Penn came out, but as he came out after the Jude Law joke, he was waddling, like I say, like he hadn't pinched one off perfectly. Well, it's all happened to us time and again. I know I waddle out there when I don't pinch it off good. So, like I say, he comes waddling out.
Okay, that's that. The tape ended there. That's all we got from L.A. County. So apparently after, well, not after, but it was first noticed that he had the pole parked way up there when he came out and very humorlessly reacted to Chris Rock's comments about Jude Law. So, yeah, this is a problem we have. It is called posing, and it affects a certain number of young actors who saw a James Dean poster once and then went down to the car wash and bought those kinds of sunglasses. All right, tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, we're going to have with us Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police about the methamphetamine epidemic. And it's probably the first drug in the history of the American culture, the first drug to be imported into the city from the suburbs. Because generally it's the other way around. Whatever it may be, it comes from the urban nightmare of the cityscape, and then it goes out into the pristine and well-scrubbed suburbs. Well, in point of fact, crank comes from even beyond the suburbs in what is called the outer ring suburbs, the third ring suburbs. In other words, you got it, white trash country, and then moves inward toward the city. So tonight, Jay Santos will be with us. We also have Pastor William Rennick on with us to comment on the Chris Rock appearance last night. And I know that it got panned. We also have a by request flashback coming up in just a few minutes here on the Phil Hendry Show. And then I'll tell you how my weekend, I think you'll be interested to find out how the weekend went, Bud. You know, Marie and I went to a, well, we kind of went to a couples retreat.
Are you sure you want to talk about it? It's very personal.
Well, I think, you know, people will benefit.
What do you mean a retreat? What's that all about? Like a monk or something?
Well, it was a deal to, no, it wasn't like a monk. No, we went with other couples. We did it. It was really cool. I'm going to tell everybody about it. That's coming up. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We also have some email that we'll read. And our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. And, you know, people have emailed and said, when are we going to do another all-request show? Well, our new associate producer, Harry Shelley, is in and screening the phone. So I don't want to dump a whole bunch of stuff on him all at once, but we will, within the next couple of weeks, have our all-request show coming up for you, too. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Our listener request coming up.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Going to get to our by-request listener flashback in a second. And I want to say very quickly, because again, this is very uncomfortable for me, the number of people calling about what our status in Los Angeles is, and I've got so many other radio stations, so forgive me, my other listeners. But in answer to the questions we have in L.A., we're on every night. If there's a Laker game, we're on in full after the Laker game. The entire show is heard after the Laker game. So I want everybody to know what?
Mr. Hall's on the phone.
Yeah, David.
Are you stupid or something?
Well, that's a nice way to say good evening.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to say, you know, you're... All right, good evening, Phil. How are you?
Great. Thanks a lot.
Well, no, but I don't... What are you talking about?
I'm telling people in L.A.
The Lakers are on tonight. They can't hear you. Hello.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, I don't know the schedule.
Well, why don't you check it? Hey, all you guys in L.A. that can't hear me? Jesus.
Bud, you want to tell me this stuff?
Hey, no, I didn't look at it.
It's not his problem. It's yours. Hi, yeah, I just want to let my listeners to know in L.A. that I'll be on in full after the Laker broadcasts, but then again, you're not hearing me right now because the Laker game's on.
You're right, I should have...
Yeah.
All right, just hang the schedule up, will you, bud?
Okay, which one?
The Lakers schedule. No, the Kings schedule.
Well, I have them both here.
The Lakers schedule! All right, here is a by-request flashback. Dear Phil... I'd like to request the bit where Mr. Green of Frasier... This one's classic. This one is... I love this one. Dear Phil, I would like to request the bit where Mr. Green of Frasier Foods was saying that he wouldn't allow someone with gnarly teeth to buy corn from his store. Please, please, please play this one for me. It was the very first time that I listened to, and I haven't listened to your show, and I haven't missed one since. Thanks, my man. Max Layton, LaGrange, Georgia. This is when Bob Green said he couldn't... He would not sell corn to somebody with the gnarled out teeth because it's just funky. Here it is, our listener request flashback.
I just wanted to say that if I was in this man's store and he said that to me, said something about me having crooked teeth, and it would be rude for me to eat corn in front of somebody else, I would throw the corn in his face and walk out of his store. I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, then you would be guilty of a crime.
That.
You'd be guilty of a crime. I mean, you're going to assault me? I mean, all I'm saying to you, I'm suggesting that it's not pleasant to look at someone like you. And I don't know, do you have crooked teeth? Or?
No, I don't have crooked teeth.
What are you worried about? I don't understand.
You're just rude. That's a very rude thing for a store manager, a CEO, to do. You're going to lose customers that way. It's ridiculous.
That's a good point. What about the customers that are not going to shop there anymore?
Well, Phil, look, if you're in my store to buy corn on the cob, and you've got teeth that are all jacked up, then no, I don't want you in my store.
You'll lose the business.
Why am I going to turn loose out into a 4th of July barbecue someone with jacked up teeth with corn wedged in it? That's my point that I'm trying to make.
You don't have to look at the person's teeth. You don't have to stare at them while they're eating.
No, that's true, but you've been at many 4th of July barbecues, and I don't even know why I'm still talking to this lady. She threatened to assault me.
Well, did you mean literally you'd throw the corn at him, Aaron?
I mean, that's what she's talking about.
Well, if he said something to me
that's
like
that... That's against the law. If I say to you, Aaron, you got jacked up teeth, please don't buy my corn, and you throw it at me, I haven't committed a crime. You have.
Well, you've insulted this woman, though.
I have not insulted her. I'm suggesting that if you've got crooked, messed up teeth... And then you have the unmitigated gall to eat corn on the cob in front of people, and they're looking at you while you're going, hey, how you doing? You know, you're grinning at them. Do you think that's pleasant?
There it is. That was sweet. Sweet corn. Now, that was Bob Green, and he's talking about selling corn on the cob. And I bet you that there's got to be more than one of us out there who wished that on some level that was a law. That, how they have those big banners in the front of supermarkets, and it looks like somebody drew it, like 55 cents off, and they have the shading. How about jacked up teeth? No corn here? Something. And because my daughter, who's a great kid, every time I say something about my daughter, by the way, I got to hear about it the next day. Somebody at school, at her school, can't be one of the kids. I think it's one of the adults at her school, repeats everything to her. And sometimes it upsets her, So I'm going to find out who says these things to my daughter, whoever you are, and I know you're an adult, and I'm going to bring you to my house, and under the guise of baptizing you, really, I just love you, and I'll just hold your head underwater or something. I don't know what I'm going to do. Speaking of baptizing, Pastor Rennick will be up in a minute. But in any event, my daughter is one of these people who loves to get a mouthful of banana and mash it up real good in her mouth, and then open her mouth and go, bah! The reason why she does that is I told her that when I was a kid, my sister used to do that. My sister would eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, chomp it real good, and she hasn't swallowed it yet, and then go, nah. So the mouth is just, it's always like a thing when I was a kid, and I guess I still have it as an adult. I don't like to see people talking with their mouth full. It just, it bugs me. It bugs me to the point of wanting to put their eye out with a salad fork. You ever see these folks that do that?
Hey, Phil, do you ever see the thing?
And there's bits of food flying out. And have you ever had anybody talking to you, and a bit of food flies out right onto you from their mouth? And they'll just, and all they say is, oh, excuse me. Anyway, I was, see, that stuff is.
Yeah, you're a little sensitive, aren't you?
I don't think that's a little, maybe in the your neck of the woods, Dickman, that's a de rigueur, but not in mine, all right?
What's wrong with that? The guy has something to say.
You're the kind of guy, man, I've seen you eat. Didn't I see you the other day have a mouthful of peas that you were still chewing, and you took a sip of milk?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Oh, man.
Yeah, you don't get it.
By the way, your Paula Zahn, Babe of the Week, better than most, but still. Paula Zahn, your Babe of the Week.
All right, if you don't think she's hot, then you're a lost cause.
Yeah, well, look at man. You can't get me to believe it. What was last week? Yeah, Emma Thompson? Dude. Come on, talk about no corn on the cob for you. All right, 1-800-449-8686. In a few minutes, Bud, you'll be doing the NASCAR radical accidents?
That's correct.
All right, yesterday was the big race at Fontana. I think it's the California 500 was run yesterday, if that's the name of the race. But in any event, it was out in Fontana, and we will have Bud's radical accidents from NASCAR from yesterday, Sunday. Was that the California 500? It was out in Fontana, California, which is where they call that Suntucky. Sorry. All right, let me just get to a little bit of email. And a reminder coming up tonight is going to be Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police talking about the threat of crank, you know, all kinds of like, methamphetamine getting fed into the cities. Here's one from Bill. I'm a backstage pass holder since 2003. I was deployed in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom, and for all of 03, your backstage pass kept me sane for the last half of my deployment. I was listening to some old MP3s that I have downloaded over time and came across a short sample of an old Art Griego bit. Remember Art? Where he describes safely landing a Boeing 747 from somewhere in California after all three pilots passed out from food poisoning. As always, his story is filled with holes and everyone starts chiming in. The best part is when Art's telling a real jumbo jet pilot that his wristwatch was interfering with the controls and dials of the plane, but he still made it to the tarmac after dumping fuel. Another bit just as good as when Art describes scaring passengers into their seats during flight by shaking the plane in midair, and his reference of a passenger trying to do a lithgow, which is a passenger trying to break the airplane window with a fire extinguisher with a fire extinguisher to escape. All right, dude, we'll try and get that on for you. And another guy writes in with a suggestion for Martha Stewart. She's getting out. Like, does anybody care? Martha Stewart could get out of prison and go immediately, just disappear, just go walk into the ocean. If Martha Stewart got out of prison and did an Amy Semple McPherson and just walked out to Santa Monica Beach and continued walking as the waves crashed over her, I don't think it would even make the, I think it would make page three. I don't think there'd be as many viewers as for the Academy Awards. Hi, Phil, I love Vernon Dozier, he's the best. Can you play the looky-loo real estate one where he... Can you play the looky-loo real estate one where he throws people out of the structure and the kids keep flushing the toilet? That one's the best. Plus, that dude Bud Dickman is a riot. I love your show.
Hey, what does he mean?
Means you're funny.
What?
It's a very uplifting show. I'm a truck driver. I look forward to your show. It brightens my day. I want to hear more from Vernon. I listen to your show on XM. Out of sight. He lives in Cape Cod. He visits California. Yeah, Vernon Dozier was a real estate agent who would get people into the open house model. I'm sure a lot of you guys have looked at houses. You go to the model, and this guy's there. And as soon as he's able to determine that these people are just looking and they're not really serious about buying, he tells them to, quote, get the hell out of the structure. And the kids are always flushing the toilets. So we'll try and get that one on for you, man. Thank you very much for your emails, you guys. Our address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. Coming up, it's Bud Dickman's Radical NASCAR Accidents. It was the Auto Club 500 race. These will be the radical accidents from the Auto Club 500 race yesterday in Fontana, Suntucky. California. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hey, everybody, it's Brett Goodman. It's time now for NASCAR's Radical Accident.
Big wheels rolling.
Yeah!
Big wheels rolling.
Ouch!
Oh,
my leg!
Big wheels rolling.
That's right, everybody. Time now for NASCAR's Radical Accidents. Oh, my dear Jesus, my leg's pinned underneath the chassis. Woo! Now then, I was...
Hold on, whoa. Wait a minute, man.
All right.
Oh, my dear Jesus, my leg's pinned under the chassis.
Well, yeah, it's just... What?
It's gruesome, dude. I mean, look at... You know, you want a little what they call trade and pain, a little door banging, that's fine. Oh, my God, my leg's pinned under the chassis?
It makes realistic. God, jeez, every time I try to do something, you butt in. Just leave me alone.
All right, you baby. Fine, go ahead.
Thank you. Oh, now I got to wait for the song to start again.
Call me a spooge. Underwear stain.
Wheels rolling.
All right, everybody, hold on for a minute, man. Don't you call me that. Go.
Hey, everybody, it's Bud Dickman. It's time now for our Radical Accidents in NASCAR this week. Well, friends, we had ourselves a real rumble-tumble time out there. Well, whoa.
What are we now doing, the Southern accent? What are you, all of a sudden, what's his name? That buddy dude? That buddy guy?
Buddy guy? He played a harmonica.
Whoever that guy is. So now you're Mr., what are you, Ned Jarrett?
Yeah, I'm right up there in the booth.
Go ahead.
Do it. Recue. Hello, everybody. This is Bud Dickman. Welcome out to NASCAR's Most Radical Accidents. Yes, sir. We saw some real door banging this weekend at the Auto Valvoline. What the hell's it called? It's the Auto Spark Plug. Summer. I don't know. Valvoline 5. Let's just call it the Valvoline 500. I don't know. And
that wasn't the name of it.
No, I don't know what it was called. Just call it something automotive. It was the Oil Slick 300, the Auto Club 500, that was it. All right, as we got around the track there on, lap 7, Ricky Rudd into pit road, the right side damage. He collides with Bill Elliott. He collided with Bill Elliott. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Bill Elliott's leg is severed. It's going down. Will you come on and do stuff for real and not fake?
I just want to jazz it.
Bill Elliott's leg is severed. God! Hold on for a minute.
Guys, button in.
Why don't you let the retard do what he wants to do? That way we can get this segment over with and move on. Just let him do it.
David, there's credibility.
Oh, give me credibility? Your show?
As I try to tell him, Mr. Hall, it's all baloney anyway.
Thank you very much. So what do you want me to do?
Just let him do it and shut up.
Yeah, shut up.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Make a mockery out of the whole thing. See if I care.
Yeah, no one cares whether you care. The audience doesn't care. They just want to hear the retard do his thing so we can get going with this show. God! Taking you 40 minutes to get this thing out of the gate.
Sorry. Go ahead, bud.
As I was saying.
Big wheels roll.
This is Bud Dickman. It's time now for NASCAR's Radical Accidents. Oh, God. Look out. Ricky Rudd was horribly burned beyond recognition in lap number 7. Woo!
And then the leaders on pit road, Matt Kenseth takes the lead with a brilliant stop, but Biffle, who won the race, comes out second, and three cars collide in the pits. Somebody screwed up. Some idiot didn't get them out of the pits clean. And as a result, there's a man's leg out on the track. Now moving along, yes.
Men become addicted to the grind.
Our lap number 59. Lap 59, the caution was out again for debris. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has to return to the pit for another cut tire, and he had to use the toilet. Apparently, Dale Earnhardt Jr. got so scared one of the turns, he dropped one in his shorts. Then in lap 85, Bobby Hamilton Jr. and John Andretti trade paint. Andretti pinched under the wall. Andretti looks like he's just going to die. And then the car bursts into flames. Andretti screams, "Oh, God, get me out! Oh, please, get me out!" He walked away unscratched.
Big wheels rolling.
Then in lap 100, Ryan Newman and Kyle Busch make an unscheduled pit stop. Busch has right side damage from slapping the wall, and Newman has a cut tire from slapping his wife. But anyway,
moving on.
And then the caution's out for debris. Kurt Busch is caught in the pits again. Will he be able to rein in the lead lap? Will he have to stay in the pits too long? I don't know. I turn the channel.
Like a gypsy, always on the
And finally, in the very last lap of the track, in the very last lap of the race, all the cars explode, and there's gasoline and fire, and the fans run screaming from the stands, and out of the middle of the pit, Godzilla, they're going, "Oh, no, my God!" Biffle won.
Big wheels.
As Radical NASCAR Accidents, join us again next week for the Grease Pit Auto Stop Butt Plug 300. I don't know what it is. What?
Okay, great. That was really great.
What's the matter?
Some guy got burned beyond recognition. Let's see, there was a leg out on the track. A guy got burned beyond recognition. Another man was screaming, pinned under the pit wall. Godzilla came out of the infield, and everybody ran out of the track screaming as the cars blew up.
Yeah.
That's how you saw it, huh?
That's this reporter's opinion, yes.
Well, thank you. No problem, man. It's great. It's Bud Dickman's Radical NASCAR Accidents. And, of course, we will be joining Bud again next week for whatever the hell else they're running out there in NASCAR. I didn't even know they were running a race out there in Suntucky. I guess I'm going to have to keep up on my NASCAR events. And everybody ran screaming from the stands.
That'd be so bitching if that had happened. God, I'd be so bitch. I love that, man. It's just, you know, "Oh, no, the track's on fire." Woo! That's cool.
All right, dude. By the way, who won?
Biffle.
Who's he?
I don't know.
Biffle? That's a cat's name that won the race? A guy named Biffle, huh?
Yeah, some guy named Biffle. And Jimmy Johnson, I don't know.
All right, there you go. That's the, whatever the hell that thing was, the Auto Club 500?
Yeah, no, the Auto Club 300.
The Auto Club?
No, the Auto Club 400.
Well, what is it, the 300, the 400, or the 500?
I'm pretty sure it's the 500.
Because they got the Indy 500, don't they?
Yeah, but then they got the Darlington 250. And
what does that stand for, anyway?
Number of times a car can go around a track, I think.
You mean laps?
Yeah.
Anyway, there it is, NASCAR from Fontana. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Well, let's get the debris off the track. We'll be right back with Pastor William Rennick, and then coming up, it's going to be Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police tonight on methamphetamine, something every parent should know about. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Pastor Rennick, William Rennick from Joyful Union. We just have a few minutes with you tonight, Pastor. You saw Chris Rock last night. What'd you think?
I thought that my first impression, Phil, was that that young man was pushing.
put out on that stage on purpose, I think, to fail.
I'm sorry, to fail?
To absolutely fail. I think Chris Rock is a very talented young man. I've got all his DVDs. I've got every one of his concert recordings. I think he's a very talented young man. I think they put that young man on that stage last night to fail on purpose.
And all right, that begs the question, why?
I'm going to tell you why, because I think Chris Rock has made a lot of the people in Hollywood who are the power brokers, the important people, you know.
Studio heads?
Yeah. I think he made a lot of them mad. I think they are very put off of Chris Rock. I don't think he played a game, you know. Like a lot of brothers might play the game. And I love Denzel Washington. I love Denzel Washington. But that brother played the game. Chris Rock don't play the game. All right. Now.
Well, who are these people, just all of the power brokers?
Well, I think you know what I'm talking about. And the same people who wouldn't let Mel Gibson get that passion of the passion of the Jesus Christ up there for Academy Award. I did not see that movie get nominated for one award. On a Mel Gibson.
You mean Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson, yeah. Now, they're the same people.
Well, who are they? Who specifically are the people that you say set Chris Rock up to fail?
I think you know who I'm talking about. I don't think I got articulated. I think you know who I'm talking about.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I do a lot of business with myself. You know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about.
But I tell you what, Phil, I don't want to get too far. I want to say this. All right?
I don't know who it is you're talking about.
Well, I think everybody out in the listening audience know what I'm talking about. I think everybody know who Chris Rock is pissed off, if you'll excuse my language. And let me tell you something about the use of my language. I hear a lot of people say, Pastor, I heard you on the Phil Henry show, and you're using all this language. You're using language that I would not want my child to use. I say, you know, I get so full of the Holy Ghost. I get so full of the Holy Ghost, sometimes the words fail me. And at that time, I am, guilty of using a wrong word. I apologize to the children for that. But I think Chris Rock really bugs some of these people.
You don't want to tell me who?
No, I'm not going to tell you who. I think you know. I think if you thought about it, you'd know. I think the people listening to your radio broadcast right now know.
Well,
and I also think that those people listening to your show right now, they know who they are. You know who you are. You set Chris Rock up to lay an egg last night. And I resent that on behalf of that young man. I think he's a very talented young man. Now, I want to say one thing. Phil, we are going...
I want to find out who this group of people...
Hold on. We are going to have this weekend a joyful union pool party and baptism. We're going to have a barbecue, a beautiful Olympic-sized pool. I'm going to be down there inviting everybody to come down and praise Jesus, to come down and be baptized in the blood of the Lamb, in the water that is the life. And come down, bring a bathing suit. We got Olympic-sized pool that's going to be heated, even though you're in the middle of the wintertime, you know. And I'll be out there barbecuing. I'll be standing there. I have a big-on chef hat with a big apron. And I'll turn the ribs, and I'll come on down. I'll up. And while you're swimming around in there, I'll go ahead and just bless you. Boom, you're baptized. Now, here's the thing.
You mean just by diving into this pool?
Well, it's something we have done, and it's something I've revolutionized. It's something I want to do. In other words, you know all this fancy stuff, you pinch off the nose, put them in the water. I say just go on, let's have a pool party. And when they're toweling off, you go, by the way, you're not Christian. You now love Jesus, whether you like it or not. See, that to me is the way to do it. You know,
well, wait a minute. The guy jumps in, goes swimming, and when he gets out, he's got a towel around him. You go, by the way, you now are born again?
That's right. Now, let me tell you why I do it like that. A great many pastors and men of the cloth have been through what I've been through. When you baptize someone with the water of life, you are so revolted by their sin that when you pinch their nose and you lower them into the water, dear God, forgive me for what
I'm about to say, but I wanted to keep them down there. You know, I wanted to keep them under the water. I'm so mad, so like, oh, man, what I'd love to. I just want to keep them under there, you know.
And is this something a lot of pastors do?
Yeah, they're revolted by the sin. So when you baptize somebody, you put them under the water, you go, you know something? All I got to do is hold you down here for another 90 seconds. And you ain't nobody's problem no more. That's all I got to do. And it,
well, people would know you were doing that to them.
No, then you lift them up, you go, oh, geez, look at this. Heart attack.
Hold on for a minute, Pastor. Pastor William Renick saying that Chris Rock was set up to fail last night by the very people that kept The Passion of the Christ from winning an Academy Award. Who's that? I don't know. He won't tell me. He says, but I think you know. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So I, you know, Pastor Renick, the thing that I want to know more than anything else, when you talk about, where are you right now?
I'm on Amtrak.
You're on Amtrak where, going to San Diego or something?
Yeah, I'm just taking a San Diego run right now. But what do you want? What do you want to hear? What do you want me to say?
Well, who are these people that wanted Chris Rock to bomb?
You know what, Phil, I'm not going to articulate it. I'm just saying, this coming Saturday, come down to a joyful union, and I will baptize you with the water of life. And you don't have to worry about pork and all that. I tell you right now, I'm going to have myself a...
Oh, we're pulling into Del Mar.
Now,
get out of here! What is this cat... What's he doing, walking up and down the aisle selling cigarettes? I guess that was very racially stereotyping of me, wasn't it, bud?
You bet.
Thank you. I know who he's talking about. He's talking about Jewish folks. Oh, is that it? So it's the Jewish folks that wanted Chris Rock to bomb? And they're the ones that kept the Passion of the Christ? I don't know, man. I've never bought into that. But then I've never been the host of the Academy Awards, so...
You've never been black.
Right.
And you've never been funny.
Right. Now, what do you mean I've never been funny? 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on the scourge of methamphetamines and what he and his fellow volunteer police officers are doing about it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.